Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, grab them and go with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 8 this morning, Mark chapter number 8. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be one perhaps in the back of the seat in front of you, maybe in the back of the seat behind you, you'll find a copy of God's Word. We would encourage you to pick up that copy and follow along with us in Mark chapter number 8. And we're going to find ourselves this morning in verse number 1. Mark chapter 8, verse number 1. We're going to go down to verse number 10. And then we're going to jump ahead a little bit, read verse 17 to verse 21 or so. Mark chapter 8. Verse number 1, if you found your place, and if you're willing and able, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter number 8. As you're turning there, let me begin with reminding you of just how prone we are to forget things. How many of you are forgetful and you know it? Let me see. How many of you are sitting next to someone who's forgetful and doesn't know it? Let's see. Okay. What's the worst moment of forgetfulness that you've ever had? Think about it. Anybody ever forgot their keys? Let me see. Okay. Anybody ever forgot a child? The store, the school, you've left them at church. You didn't forget them here. You did that on purpose. I know some of you. You said, you can have them. The worst moment of forgetfulness, I forgot our 6th wedding anniversary. Don't ooh and ah like that. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We had just moved to a new ministry spot. Very busy. We're trying to kick off teen camp. We were a week away from teen camp. It seemed like we were working from 7 in the morning till 11 at night. June the 9th, I jump up, I run about, get my clothes ready, take off, I go to work. I didn't even come home for lunch that day. Stayed till about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, finished up all my stuff. I got home. Amanda had warmed back up the meal that she had made because I'd missed dinner. Climbed into bed, kissed Gabriel, climbed into bed. Said, good night, baby. How many of you know when your wife is mad at you, but she ain't saying anything, but you can feel it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you didn't raise your hand, and I know you know. I said, good night, baby. She said, okay, good night. And oh, happy anniversary. Youch. This passage before us presents the reality that we face in our Christian life. Namely, how easy we forget. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat. So Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he saith unto them. Okay, look. He knows they're hungry. So he brings his disciples in and he says to his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers, or which is many, of them came from far. And his disciples, watch, look. So Jesus presents them with the problem. They're hungry. And if I just send them out, they're not going to have enough strength to get home. It's the problem. And his disciples answered him, "Well, Lord, remember a couple chapters ago when you fed all the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we had plenty of baskets left over? Just do that again." Is that what verse 4 says? If your version says that, you got the wrong one. That's what they should have said. You see? His disciples answered him, "From whence?" Or, "How can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" So what they said is, how in the world could somebody possibly come up with enough food to feed all these people? And he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fish. And he blessed and he commanded to set them also before them. And they did eat and they were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. And straightway, he entered into a ship with his disciples. Just to skip down a little ways, go to verse number 20. And Jesus knew of it. I'm sorry, verse number 17. And Jesus knew of it, and he saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not remember?" Do you not remember? Do you not remember, verse 19, when I break 5 loaves among 5,000? And how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they saith unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye do not understand? Oh, how easy we forget. Oh, how easy we forget how good our God is." Listen, church. "Oh, how easy we forget how powerful our God is. Oh, how easy we forget all that God has done for us." Here's the title of the sermon: Don't Forget. Don't forget. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use your word in our lives. Cause us to remember. Cause us to remember your love, your mercy, your greatness, your power, your provision. Cause us to remember, and by way of remembering, may we have hope, and may we have confidence, and may we defeat doubt and discouragement, and may we anticipate the multiple ways for which you will demonstrate your provision for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said together, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. If you read this passage, you'll get a sense of deja vu. We'll feel as if you've already read these stories. And that is because, in fact, we've already read similar stories. Mark has already told us about an occasion where Jesus has fed thousands of people. Mark has already told us about an occasion where Jesus got into a boat and headed across the sea to go to the other side. Mark has already told us of an occasion where the Pharisees set themselves in hostility against Jesus. Mark has already told us of an occasion where the disciples were forgetful, where they failed to realize all that Jesus can do. All of this Mark has already told us. So why is he telling us again? Why is he telling us about another event with this same message? And the reason is because in the Christian life, it is very easy to become forgetful. It is very simple to allow yourself to just be rushed on throughout the day, to be led on through the events of life, to fill your mind up, to fill your heart up with all of the present experiences, which then cause us to forget all the ways that God has provided and been good for us in the past, and steal and rob from us any hope or any promise or any anticipation for how God might provide for us in the future. Now, this passage is a passage where we are seeing clearly the dangers of spiritual forgetfulness. What I submit to you this morning is this is not simply absent-mindedness on the part of the disciples. And the reason it's not simply absent-mindedness, the reason it is in fact spiritual amnesia, it's spiritual forgetfulness. The reason it's spiritual forgetfulness is because look at the questions that Jesus proposes. Jesus says, here's a problem. What do you think we should do about it? How much bread do you have? Do you remember what I did last time? Do you not remember? Have you already forgotten? They remember mentally, but they have forgotten spiritually. So we've got three ideas. Number one, the danger of spiritual forgetfulness. If you're taking notes, write that down. The danger of spiritual forgetfulness. And notice, they have forgotten several things about Jesus. Three things in the text. They've forgotten first his teaching. Look at verse number two, verse number three. Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. For many of them came from a long distance. So they were forgetful of Jesus' teaching. You say, well, what were they doing with Jesus for these 3 days? Well, Mark has already told us what Jesus' entire mission in coming is. In Mark chapter number 1, verse number 14, Mark teaches us that Jesus has come preaching and teaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is here. The rule of God is here. Therefore, repent and believe in me. So Jesus' primary thing he is doing throughout all of the Gospels is not performing miracles. Of course, he does perform miracles. But he only performs miracles as a way of indicating, of validating his messiahship. The miracle is a sign that validates that he is in fact the Messiah. But the miracles are not why Jesus came. Jesus came to save sinners from their sin. That's why Jesus came. And the way that he was going to show us that he did that was through his teaching. And what this passage teaches us is Jesus has now been teaching this congregation for 3 full days. Now, you thought I preached for a long time. Jesus has them for 3 days. They're not taking break. They're not eating. And now the teaching is done. It is finished. But this serves to remind us this, that the primary way that the problems of our lives should be addressed, the primary way that the problems of our lives should be addressed is with the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. You see, modern people do not believe that. They do not believe that the best way to deal with the problems that we see in our world is with the Word of God. But that is actually what we believe, that the Word of God is sufficient to do the work of God. Listen, the Word of God is sufficient to do the work of God. That when we open the Word of God, it is the Spirit of God who uses His Word to make us like His Son. He uses His Word to guide us. He uses His Word to lead us. He uses His Word to shape us. There's all these images in the Bible about the Word. The Word of God is life. Is God's Word life to you? It's honey. The Word of God is honey. It's sweet. It's desirable. The Word of God is a hammer. The Word of God is a fire. The Word of God never changes. The Word of God is a light. It's a big spotlight that searches out all the corners of your heart and reveals to you things that you never really knew about yourself until you got in God's Word. The Word of God is alive. Do you see? Why is the Word of God sufficient to do the work of God? For all of these and 100 other reasons just like that. The Word of God is sufficient. Do you need help in your marriage this morning? Read the Bible. Do you need help with your job? Read the Bible. Do you need help with your children? Read the Bible. Are you frustrated about where you find yourself at this point in your life? Read the Bible. The Word of God is sufficient to do the work of God in your heart, in your life. It is the Spirit of God that uses the Word of God to make us like unto the Son of God. That is our confidence. That is our hope. That is why we preach and teach the Bible the way that we do here at First Baptist. To go next chapter, next verse. We walk through God's Word together in this fashion. Why? Because the Word of God is sufficient to do the work of God in my life. The greatest need that I have in my life can be, the answer to it can be found in God's Word. Do you believe that? Or have you forgotten that? The danger of spiritual forgetfulness, we forget the teaching of the Word of God. Second, notice they forgot His compassion. Look at verse number two. I have compassion on the multitude. If I send them away, fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. So here you see this intense practicality from Jesus. He's not somebody who simply has his head in the clouds. No, he realizes that people have real needs. And in this instance, they need some real food so that they can have a sufficient energy to take them all the way home. He doesn't want to send these people who have been listening to him teach all the way home because he knows that they will faint as they go. Now you watch this, think of it. Their hunger is not nearly as big as what Jesus came to do. Their hunger compared to Jesus' mission. What was Jesus' mission? Jesus' mission was to die on the cross for sinful men and to raise from the dead. So their hunger compared to Jesus' mission doesn't even compare. And yet, here is Jesus, while he is focused on the mission, his whole purpose, everything he does is in line with what his Father would have him to do. And yet at the same time, Jesus cared for people right where they were. This is showing us that Jesus cares for all the little things in our lives. See, one of the ways that the devil causes us to become spiritually forgetful, one of the tricks he uses is he whispers in your ear, oh, well, this little thing, well, God doesn't really have time for that. Oh, that little thing, well, God doesn't really care about those kind of things. He has much, much more important things to do. Listen, friend, do not fall for that. Do not fall for that. Because the Bible says that Jesus cares for you. Cast all of your care upon me because I care for you. The implication from Peter in saying that is this: if you care about it, well, then he cares about it. Because he cares about you. Do you see that? If you care about it, then he cares about it because he cares for you. So one of the ways in which we become spiritually forgetful is we forget the teaching of God's word. We think we need something other than the word of God to do the work that God intends to do in our hearts and lives. Second, we become spiritually forgetful when we forget that Jesus cares for us. Third, when we forget his power. Look at verse 4. And his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" Now, if you've been listening at all as we walked our way through the Gospel of Mark, you ought to be saying, what? Why would the disciples say that? Why would they not immediately say, well, we can't solve their need, but you can solve their need? How many demonstrations of power does Jesus have to perform in order to convince the disciples that he can, in fact, provide for them? And I wonder how many demonstrations of power in our hearts and lives does Jesus have to perform until we are reminded that he can provide for us? The disciples are spiritually unprepared for the moment. When Jesus says, here's a lot of hungry people, what do you think we should do? Their immediate answer should have been, well, Lord, we can't, but you can. Lord, I can't, but you can. And Lord, if you do, then we will serve. I wonder what areas in my own life am I spiritually unprepared? I wonder about what areas in my life, what areas in your life do we begin to doubt God's word, God's compassion, God's power? How often do we find ourselves in some particular area of our lives acting as if, well, there's no way God can solve this. Where there's no way God can help me with that. Where there's no way God can perform this. Maybe for you, you're a parent and you're at a point of frustration with your children. You're walking down the hallway to deal with another one of those battles, and you feel as if you have nothing left. I wonder, before you go in the room to deal with that, do you stop and pray, Lord, I cannot do this, but I know you can. So help me. Maybe at the office you're dealing with a boss or some rule or some regulation, and it's making life difficult for you. I wonder if in those moments, do you doubt the goodness, the greatness of God? Do you doubt His power, His mercy, His compassion? Do you wonder, well, God must not care for me, otherwise I wouldn't be in this situation. Do you doubt God's ability to give you the grace you need to face what you are facing? Do you doubt God's ability to give you the wisdom that you need to navigate the situation you find yourself in? Do you doubt God's ability to provide for you in a thousand different ways, whatever it is you need in the moment? Are you spiritually prepared, or do we find ourselves like the disciples, spiritually unprepared, failing to remember all the ways that God has been good to us? When you find yourself in tough times, and you will find yourself there, everyone goes through difficulty, everyone goes through trials, everyone goes through heartbreak, everyone goes through pain. Everyone experiences grief. All of us have seasons of doubt and discouragement. One man asked D.L. Moody one time, they said, well, aren't you as a Christian supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Moody responded, yes, but I leak. We all leak. We all have seasons where we're going through something very difficult and the problem sits in front of us and we are spiritually forgetful. We forget the word of God. We forget the love of God. We forget the power of God. The dangers of spiritual forgetfulness are very real for us as Christians. But it's not just the dangers we see. Notice the cause of spiritual forgetfulness. The cause of spiritual forgetfulness. God knows us as a frail people to be so forgetful, which is why so many times in the Bible, you see the writers of the Bible saying things like, remember, set up a memorial, build up some stones. Set up a statue. Remember these. Not because God wanted the children of Israel to pray to the stones. That's not what he wanted. He wanted the children of Israel to be reminded. Even the psalmist says, call to remembrance. Call to remembrance. Call to remembrance. Even Jesus in this passage asks the disciples, do you not remember? Do you not remember what I did just two chapters ago? We're not even two chapters away. And do you not remember what I did for you right then? The cause of spiritual forgetfulness is three things. Write this down. First, we forget his past provisions. Look at the question that Jesus asked. This is by way of inference. You see this by way of inference. Look at the question Jesus asks. Jesus says, verse 17, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Why perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Is your heart hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? Do ye not yet remember? When I break five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say 12. And when the seven among four, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They say 7. And he says unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? He said, do you not remember what I did? Have you already forgotten? think of all that the disciples had seen in this past year and a half or so. Think of all the miracles that we've already seen in the book of Mark, and they have forgotten. How many of you have realized this already, but people really love the past? How many of you realize that? People love to talk about the good old days when life was supposedly simpler and less sinful. I doubt that it was either simpler or less sinful. But remembering what God has done for us in the past is not simply an exercise in futility for the Christian. For the Christian to remember the past is not, we don't want to remember that simply so we can complain about whatever we find ourselves facing in the current moment. The Christian doesn't remember the past with some kind of desire to return to the past. The Christian remembers the past to remind us that it was God who acted for us back then, and it is the same God who acts for us today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. In other words, remembering for the believer is not designed to transport you back to some former glory. Remembering is to prepare you and to equip you and to encourage you for the present and the future. Why do we become spiritually forgetful? Because we've forgotten his past provisions. We've forgotten the way in which God has provided for us. Another reason we become spiritually forgetful is we've forgotten his future promises. You would think that the disciples would be saying to themselves, well, last time you used 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 plus people. I can't imagine what you're going to do this time. It's going to be amazing. And yet that's not what they're doing. They had seen all of it. They had listened. They had learned. And yet they had forgotten grace. They forgot it all in 3 days. If I were honest, I've forgotten things about God much sooner than 3 days. Sometimes I've forgotten things that God has taught me or ways that God has provided for me. I've forgotten them in 3 hours. How about you? How easy we forget. We forget his past provisions. We forget his future promises. What causes us to become spiritually forgetful? We forget his past provision. We forget future promises. Third, we focus only on present problems. We become spiritually forgetful when neither the past provision or the future promises of God have any bearing on our present situation. We've forgotten everything that God has ever done for us. We do not allow that to factor into the equation of our thinking. We do not allow that to factor into the equation of our feelings. We do not allow that to factor into the equation that we see before us. We've forgotten his past promises, but we've also forgotten his future promises. All the things that God has promised to do, all the ways that God has promised to be with us, all the things where God has said he will never leave us nor forsake us, all the ways in which he has demonstrated for us that he has given to us an inheritance that we cannot lose. Tribulation and persecution and distress and trials and likability and unlikability and good times and bad times and when things are favorable and when things are unfavorable and when society likes you and when society doesn't like you and when the culture goes your way and when the culture doesn't go your way, we are still reminded that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, but we become spiritually forgetful when we forget that and we focus only on our present trial. And we do not allow his past provision and his future promise to have any bearing in our lives. You ever wondered why when the Lord teaches the disciples to pray, he begins by saying this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They don't jump right to give us this day our daily bread. That's how we pray. Heavenly Father, give us this day our daily bread. No, he says, I want you to slow down. I want you to think before you start asking me for bread. I want you to think about who I am. Who am I? I'm your Father. And how did I become that? Because you were not my children. You were the children of the devil. You went your own way. You rebelled against me. And yet I sent my son to die on the cross for you. I adopted you. I brought you into my family. I redeemed you. I made you my own. I set my love on you by way of Jesus Christ. I filled you with my spirit. I stamped my spirit on your heart so that you can belong to me. And there is no man that can pluck you out of my hand. My Father in heaven. Aren't you so thankful you don't pray to your Father in the living room? Aren't you so thankful you don't pray to my Father at 1000 Pine Street? God isn't boxed in. God isn't hindered. God doesn't have a limited view. It's our Father in heaven who sits above it all, rules over it all, sees through it all. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see what Jesus leads the disciples, and by way of leading them, he leads us to understand, before you bring to me your need, which I care deeply about, you need to be reminded of who I am. Otherwise, spiritual amnesia sets in, and you forget. You forget my past provision. You forget my future promise, and you focus only on the problem right here, the cause of spiritual forgetfulness. The cause is we forget his past provisions, we forget his future promises, we focus only on the present problem. And as God's people, we're called to remember. We're called to remember. Third and last, the result of spiritual forgetfulness. So look what's happening in verse 17 to verse 21. Here's what Jesus is saying to them. How is it that you do not understand? Look what he says in verse 17. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Look what he says in verse 18. See ye not? Look what he says in verse 18. Hear ye not? You see what's happening? Spiritual forgetfulness dulls our understanding. Spiritual forgetfulness, you should write that down. Spiritual forgetfulness dulls our understanding. We have a hard time understanding why we're going through certain things in this life because we're spiritually forgetful. If we were spiritually prepared for what we were going through, we would see, we would hear, We would understand. That's the implication. And so the reason why you can't see, and the reason why you can't hear, and the reason why you can't understand is because at some point or another in your spiritual journey, you have forgotten. You have forgotten the Word of God. You have forgotten the love of God. And you have forgotten the power of God. Spiritual forgetfulness dulls our understanding. I don't know about you, but I am far more likely to remember things that I should forget and forget things that I should remember. How many of you are like me on that? There are some things I should forget, but that's just what I keep replaying over and over and over in my own mind. It's the devil using that to remind me of my inability, my insecurity, and move me away from spiritual vitality. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not wise enough. You're not enough. Move me away from spiritual growth. And keep me hostage in this place of doubt and confusion and discouragement. And this is where Christian depression sits in. Because I'm remembering things that I should forget, and I'm forgetting things that I should remember. And now my understanding is dull. I can't interpret the things that I'm going through. I have a hard time navigating life. I told you at the beginning, I forgot my anniversary with Amanda. You were very judgmental toward me about that. But I've forgiven you about that. Every anniversary from that point forward that we come to, I always tell Amanda, hey, remember that time I forgot your anniversary? We're going to do this because I forgot that one back there. We're going to do this one. We're going to do this big. You know who's never brought up the fact that I forgot our anniversary? Amanda. She's never said to me, never one time, hey, Dave, remember that sixth one? Remember number six? No, you don't. You forgot it then and you're forgetting it now. She's never done that. She's never held that against me. We remember things we should forget. We forget things we should remember. And when we forget the spiritual things, when we forget God's power, when we forget God's love, when we forget God's word, our spiritual understanding becomes dull. We can't see, we can't hear, we can't understand. And that spiritual forgetfulness leads to apathy in our Christian life. It leads to discouragement, depression, doubt, and eventually apostasy. Go through the Old Testament. You can do it for homework today. Go through the Old Testament. Read every time the children of Israel forgot God, went another way, served another God, went into captivity, remembered God, repented. God set them in his ways. They forgot God. They forgot his word. They went after other gods. They served other things. They went to apostasy. They went into captivity. While they're in captivity, this is the entire story of the Old Testament. It's just on cycle like this. And it's the same cycle in my heart, and it's the same cycle in your heart. It's the same cycle in front of us when we forget God. So what should we do to remember? We'll give you two things. Two things. First, purpose to remember. Purpose to remember. When you find yourself in a place of doubt, when you find yourself in a place of discouragement, say to yourself in those moments, say to yourself who Jesus is. Remind yourself what Jesus has done. Tell yourself that Jesus is the sinless Son of God. Reflect on the fact that He is your Redeemer. Think about His character, His kindness, His gentleness, His meekness, His love, His compassion, His tenderheartedness, His approachability, His graciousness, His mercy. Dig out the truths of Jesus. Remember. In the back of my Bible here, if you want to see it after the service, I'll be more than happy to show it to you. In the back of my Bible here, I have a list of things that I remember for the church. The seasons where the church went through some kind of difficulty, where there was some kind of tragedy, some kind of hostility that had come against the church, some kind of thing that threatened the foundation of the church. And the Lord brought us through it. I keep a list in the back of my Bible. There it is. I keep a list in the back of my Bible. So that way, whenever I'm in those seasons where I'm like, well, I just don't know what we're going to do, I can go right back to that page and I can remember some things. Purpose to remember. Make a list of what you need to remember so that you are sure not to forget. Second, pass along the memories. Pass along the memories. It's no accident that we started this morning with Psalm 145. Psalm 145 says this, verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Psalm 78, verse number 4, listen to it. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done. Verse 6 and verse 7 of that same chapter, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Every generation of Christian men and women has a biblical responsibility to pass along to the next generation the ways that God has been good to you. We have a lot of young kids here at First Baptist. I love that. The sound of a crying baby is the sound of a church with a future. And the sound that keeps up the senior citizen from sleeping while I'm preaching. But we must pass along to the generation to come the truths of this book and the wonderful moments where God showed Himself strong. So identify the places in your life. Identify the times. Make a list to remember. And then tell everyone about it. Tell everyone about it.